It's time to get up, get motivated, and start making moves for yourself instead of working to make someone else rich. These are genuine experiences and the stories of real entrepreneurs that made the ultimate decision to live for themselves in order to achieve unbelievable results. You're listening to The Time Is Now, making your business personal. Now here's your host, Kent Clothier.
What's up, what's up? What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? I am your faithful host, Kent Clothier, and welcome to another episode of The Time Is Now. I am joined by my good friend, a guy that is killing it down in Atlanta, Mr. Anthony Epps. What is going on, Anthony?
Everything's awesome. We're having a very successful year, and I'm just excited about this real estate business.
Let's just back up. Let's just start with the Falcons. Let's just go right to the Falcons. Now, as I'm saying it, you're not really a Falcons fan, though, right? You're in Atlanta, and you could really give a shit that they lost the Super Bowl in dramatic fashion, right?
That's right. I mean, it was kind of bittersweet. I mean, because obviously the week before, they crushed my Packers. So
a week before, crushed my Cowboys. So anyway, you cut it. It's a bunch of horse shit. So
right. So I'm, as I'm watching the Super Bowl, I'm like, I would have been happy if they'd won. I'd been okay, but I'm also not totally upset that they lost. You know,
exactly. It's spoken like a diehard, right there. Well, brother, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I finally got you on here to share a little bit about your journey inside of real estate investing, inside of wholesaling, and inside, you know, everything you're doing down there in Atlanta market. And I'm glad that we've been able to get you here so that you can kind of share what's going on and hopefully inspire a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear you're just a normal, ordinary guy that's out there that's decided that to get in the game and to make some stuff happen. And now you're making it happen, right?
That's right.
So let's start at the beginning, dude. When did you get into real estate investing?
Actually, January of 2007.
I so can tell 10 you, years, right?
Yes. Yep. Exactly. I remember looking at, I don't even know how we came to go to this Robert Allen seminar, but it was me, my mom, my aunt, and my dad. We all went to this Robert Allen seminar right here in Duluth, right north of Atlanta. At that time, I was just already so ready to be my own boss. I was working in corporate.
What were you doing?
I was working sales for Granger Industrial Supply.
Gotcha. How old were you?
At this time, 07, I mean, 10 years ago, yeah, I was 29.
Got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're a 29-year-old kid. You're doing the corporate thing, right? Inside sales for Granger.
Right.
You go to a Robert Allen seminar with your family. So tell me what
That's
happened.
That's right. And went through the presentation, and I came out of there feeling excited about, wow, I think I can do this. Now, mind you, the market was just getting ready to go sour at that point. But, you know, at the same time, it was still an opportunity where I felt, well, I can, you know, no money down, no credit, which I knew I didn't have any other two. So I looked at it as a vehicle to be able to get off the job.
So what was it? So what was it specifically? So in the event, you know, they're sitting there, they're talking. What was it that made you go like, oh, my God, I have to do this?
Well, it was obviously the money that you can make in real estate. Now, I never thought of myself to be in real estate. It's just something that I wasn't even thought in my horizon that I would be doing. But it was just the presenter, the way he was explaining how different properties, different ways that they were making money on a monthly basis. I was like, well, I think I can do that. It made it seem like it was definitely more easy than complicated. I'm a type of person where if I see enough in the beginning, I can kind of run with it. And you know, because then my mind is really starting to explore, and I'm really looking forward to get out of my job.
Yeah,
in a few
right.
months, you know, these strategies. So that was the main.
So what were you making at Granger? I mean, do you remember what was the income you had to go off the place?
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you my biggest year at Granger was $80,000. I mean, $80,000 that one year. I mean, I was actually part of the President's Club or something like that because I made over 100% of my goal.
Right.
But no, I didn't make six figures at Granger. And that year, 2007, because 08 is actually when I left my job. But 07, I think that was, I was doing okay, but it wasn't obviously anything. I didn't have my time, you know, at that moment. So,
right,
but, you know, $30,000 salary and $30,000 if you hit 100% commission. That's pretty much what our.
So you got a good, so bottom line is you had a good job, right?
Yeah, I guess you say that. Yeah. decent. I mean, it was decent.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't working at McDonald's, right? I mean, you had a decent job. That's right. you were doing some stuff, and you needed to go and got excited about real estate. So tell me about how long from the time you were at the seminar to the time you did your first deal.
So the time I did my first deal was March of 2009. Now, actually, I'll take a step back. That same year, 2007, this was right around November of that year, I actually partnered with one of my coworkers and we bought a house fixing rehab and resale. But again, we didn't really know the market conditions at that moment in time. So we pretty much overpaid for the property. We bought it from a wholesaler and we just had a heck of a time dealing with the contractor that was going to do the rehab.
So your first deal was a rehab?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. Dude, you came out swinging for the fences, didn't you? Jesus Christ.
So, but even then, we had a couple of coaches. We had one coach that, yeah, he was teaching us how to do the whole fix and flip model. But obviously, you know, at that time, hard money lenders, they kind of cooled down. They weren't really loaning how they were loaning prior to the.
Yeah, the writing was on the wall. This is when the recession is beginning to set in. People are about to figure that this was about to be good. Right.
So I couldn't just walk into a hard money lender and say, hey, you know, here's a house, you know, give me 100% financing and I don't have any money to put down and my credit is crappy. You know, that just wasn't going on at that time. So I had to get a partner and the guy that, you know, I worked with, yeah, he had the credit. So we went ahead and bought the house, you know. Went ahead and got the rehab estimate, and long story short, we didn't make any money on the house. So, and I actually think he had to even short sell that property some years later.
Wow.
And so now, come 2008, I get wind of this term of, you know, wholesaling short sales and just wholesaling in general, because in the beginning I never even knew what wholesaling was. So, 2008 comes, I go ahead and listen to a couple seminars. Teleseminars, and I listened to how to basically the short sales were becoming very prevalent at that time, and I studied that and actually got I started working with Josh Cantwell and Greg Clement, strategic real estate coach, because they were really good at the whole, you know, short sale game at that point in time. And so my first deal actually was a short sale that I negotiated. I did all the negotiations up front, you know, and I actually was going to end up selling it to this one buyer who actually my seller knew, because she was the one that put me in touch with him. And long story short, he went around me and behind me and stole the deal from me. And I was going to make $10,000 on the deal to pay my rent. Now, what you don't know is that I needed that money to pay my rent so I can prevent getting evicted.
Wow.
And so this was end of 2008. Barack Obama was getting inaugurated in January of 2009. And that was right around the time that I got evicted from my apartment.
Wow.
And yeah. And so I moved in with my brother and I had another deal going. Coincidentally, I did have another deal going, and the guy, he was on my investor list, my email list that I was using to send out my properties. And so he came to me, he said, Anthony, I got this house that I'm looking to sell. I'll give you 10% of whatever sells for if you just sell it for me. And I was like, oh my God. Cause you know, I looked at the house. The house was easily like when it first was bought, it was like $600,000 house. Now, because the market has softened, that property went down all the way down to like $300,000+.
Wow.
You know, but nonetheless, I was still happy because I'm like, well, I'm going to make $30,000 on this deal if I could sell it. So I was expecting that deal to close even at the end of 08, but it didn't close until March of 09. So March of 09, I get a check for $19,000 because, you know, the house ends up selling. And a week prior to that house selling, my truck was repoed. So I get my check. You know, the house closes, he sends me a wire and I'm just ecstatic, you know. So I go to the bank, you know, get some money out. I go to the pawn place that they keep your vehicle. So I actually was able to get my truck out. And that was my first deal I ever got paid on in real estate. It was March of 2009.
Wow.
And May of 2000. And then 2 months later, I actually closed my first short sale deal on that. So yeah, it was a long road, you know, but it was.
So how did you hang in there? That's a lot of shit going on, right? You got coming at you from every direction. What is making you hang in there? Why did you stay?
First of all, I mean, I had to have it. I had to have it. And I saw the possibilities of where I knew where I wanted to be. And I knew real estate was my best vehicle to get me there. And because I tasted it, I knew what the possibilities were, even though I hadn't made a dime up until that point. but I just stuck with it, you know, because August of 08 is actually when I left my job. They terminated me on the day that I actually was going to quit.
And that's what I would say too. Yep.
Yeah, it just happened like that because I was already interviewing at some other places and I was going to quit that day anyway, so it was just kind of good because I was still able to collect some unemployment. So
gotcha.
Just with that time being, but yeah, so from that time frame of August of 08 to March of 09 is, you know, when I got my first check. So it was definitely a hustle, you know, just believing in yourself and, you know, having people around you that believe in you enough to let you pursue your dreams.
So you've been in the game now from March 2009 until now. So let's call it 8 years, right? So in 8 years, you had to guess how many transactions have you now done?
Definitely a couple hundred. Yeah, definitely. I would say.
How many did you do last year? 2016.
We did 50 last year.
There you go.
Last 2 years prior, I think I did like 25 the year before. I think I did like another 25-ish somewhere around there the year before that.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it took a while, but I can say each year I've been in the business, I've increased my income.
So what does your business look like today? Is it mostly wholesaling? Is it still a little bit of fix and flip? Tell us a little bit about it, right?
Oh,
so
no fix and flips at all. It's all wholesaling at this point.
Love it.
Yeah, and especially where the market is right now, like, you'd be a fool not to wholesale when you can make 20, 30 grand on a deal as opposed to wait 4 or 5 months to make 40 or 50, you know.
Yeah, I mean, 20 or 30 grand in 24 hours. Or
that's right. That's right.
Wait 4 months and make $40,000. I mean, the people that sit there and try to argue with me about, but you're giving up $10,000. I'm like, in the time it takes you to earn that extra $10,000, I'll flip another 20 houses.
That's
and
right.
Make $20,000 again and again and again and again. Where you on
that's
the well
side, that's I right.
Be
that's
on
right.
The
that's exactly where I look at it. That's yeah. right. Because even if there's $100,000, let's say you have a $100,000 potential profit spread, but okay, but you can flip that house right now today and make 30 to 40. You know, I'm going to take that 30 to 40 today rather than wait 5-6 months to make 100. You know, just because I know I'll make that on another couple 4 or 5 more deals. You know,
100%. I mean, money loves speed, right? And so if you can sit there and keep moving rather than have to go be on a job site and go, not to mention just all the brain damage. We're just talking about the money side of it. We're not talking about the aggravation, the pain, the brain damage, right? The follow-up, the check, the recheck, the triple check. I mean, all that stuff. If you can just eliminate that, I mean, people ask why I love wholesaling. I mean, that is it.
That's exactly it. That's,
money loves
and if I got a buddy here in Atlanta. He's done some fix and flips, but he took off pretty much a whole year of wholesaling to do some rehabs. And I mean, he was telling me how he was just sweating bullets, waiting for these deals to close so he can get his money back out. And he said he will never do that again because now he's in the process of really trying to build up his wholesaling business back up. But, you know, just like I know, once that momentum is gone, you gotta create that whole momentum all over again to get.
I mean, you got to flip the switch on the marketing machine all over again, right?
Because it took, I mean, he made like 80 grand on one deal, but he said it took him like 10 months to get that 80,000 from the start to finish. So I'm like, okay, well, that's literally $8,000 a month in wholesale. Like, you could have easily just wholesale more houses to make that 80 grand.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, that's part of why we're doing this podcast is we're trying to save people a lot of headaches and heartaches when it comes to this business.
That's right.
For the doubters that are out there, Anthony, you know, because there's inevitably some doubters that are sitting out there and like, oh, I don't believe I can actually do this. I don't believe that wholesaling isn't real. Assignments aren't real.
Well, we try to minimize the fact that, well, that's not really, you're not really an investor, you know, just because, you know, and I don't care what you call me. I'm just cashing checks. So
exactly. just pay me, right? Call me anything you need to call me, but just put the money in my hands.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Hey, this is Kent, and thanks for listening to the show. Listen, if you're an experienced real estate investor and you're just looking for a way to make the business easier, you're in the right place. This is exactly what we are known for. Do yourself a favor. Go check us out at thetimeisnow.com. Right there on the page, you'll see an offer to get access to a special offer that we're running right now for monthly access to our SMART system. SMART system stands for Strategic Marketing and Real Estate Training. It is an opportunity to get our best-selling software at a huge, huge discount just for being a listener. Now, when you get in there, we'll give you access to cash buyers, nationwide access to a list of cash buyers, nationwide access to all of the deals throughout the country, vacant properties, properties that have a ton of equity in them, properties that are deeply discounted and easy to flip, as well as nationwide access to our private lender database. Again, do yourself a favor, get signed up for that low, low monthly discounted offer over at thetimeisnow.com.
So what's the biggest piece of advice that you've learned, you know, that you would share over that, you know, the last 8 years, right? So after 8 years doing a couple hundred deals, is it that just to stick to wholesaling? I mean, what would be the best advice you have for somebody that's just kind of getting started?
Well, I would say if you're just getting started, I would definitely say wholesale your first game to be, you know, to get used to that because it's the least risk and you can still get your feet wet. And even if you have the capital or the wherewithal to actually buy a property yourself, you know, like me and many other people. I mean, I didn't have the cash to actually outright buy a house. So I had to wholesale. But, you know, some people who think they want to be landlords and do some buy and holds, I still would say learn how to wholesale because you can always be a landlord and you can always be a rehabber in the midst of that. You know, you can always cherry pick a deal or two here and there to be your, you know, as your for your rental portfolio, or even maybe you have the extra cash or you just love to do a project and you want to do a rehab. Okay, well, cherry pick a really good one and do the rehab on that one, but still wholesale and still know how to market to fund your quick cash, because that rehab deal may take 6 months and you may not make as much as you think you're going to make on it. You know, depends on when it sells. So that's my advice.
So I know you went through those tough times, right? You had the struggles. You had the getting the shit kicked out of you moments.
Oh, yeah.
What's the mental conversation? What's the thing going on in your head? I know you said, hey, man, I was just in it to win it. I wasn't going to be denied. But what are you telling? Yeah. What are you actually telling yourself to keep yourself in it? What are you telling yourself to keep going after the grind? When the money is not obvious, right? It isn't like you have any momentum at the beginning. What are you telling yourself?
Mentally, I just always wanted to put myself in the place of when it actually happens, this is what I'm going to be able to do. And I just always kept that in front of me. You know, you have the sore spots and tough times and, you know, not thinking or not ever wondering is it ever going to happen. But, you know, listen, and always what I did was I always surrounded myself with information from people like yourself. You know, I've listened to teleseminars, you know, anybody that had a teleseminar on wholesaling or what have you. I was on it because it just reinforced, you know, because sometimes you may think that you're missing something, but when you get on a teleseminar, you listen to one of these podcasts and you hear Kent talking about the same stuff that you already knew. So then, you know, you realize, okay, well, I know this. Okay. So it just reinforces the positive energy in you to give you the confidence to know that I'm right there. I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. And success sometimes happens quicker for some people than others. You can't fight with that. You just have to know that when it's your time, it's your time.
Amen, brother. So let me ask you this. So you come into the boardroom. We meet a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we were in Phoenix. Yep. And first off, was boardroom the first mastermind you'd ever been a part of?
Yes.
So you come in kind of new to the environment, right?
That's
and
right.
We kind of have a little bit of an encounter. Why don't you tell everybody kind of what happened?
Yeah, so
where you got challenged and you got
I got challenged. Yep. And so I'm in front of the group and going over my business and where I am and where I want to be. And you and Sean and Justin were, you know, just asking me general questions as far as, okay, well, why haven't you done this and why haven't you done that? And my response was, well, I was either fearful or not knowing what was on the other side and how to train my employees. Should I hire an employee? And you just came out with it and said, hey, you know, either you're going to get this done by the next boardroom or you're writing a $25,000 check to your favorite charity if you don't have this done. And that was just basically the long and short of it. Just get it done. I was just too comfortable doing things the way that I was doing, you know, because all the way up until that time,
there was no pain associated with it. Your big problem is that you were a one-man show. You were hustling, which you had been very successful at. You're trying to figure out how to turn it into a business. You're trying to figure out how to have freedom, how to travel around and do all the things that you had quite – when I listen to you now, it's pretty interesting. All the things that you were telling yourself to keep you moving, right, when you were trying to just get in the game and make money. Oh, I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to be able to do this.
Right.
You get there and you're not able to do any of that shit because
–
you didn't actually own a business. You own a job. And so we're sitting here and we see it and you know it, but there wasn't any pain. So you had failed to take any action. So we challenged you, right?
Yes, right.
And we made some, and pain in a positive way is probably the best way to say it. We made pain because you didn't want to write that $25,000 check. But if you did have to write that check was going to go to the charity of your choice. So either way, it was going to be a winning proposition.
Yes, right.
But the bottom line is when you switched that in your head, what happened?
Well, you switched it in my head and it triggered me to just not even it. It triggered me just to go ahead and focus on what I needed to do, not worry about, well, the what ifs and the woulda, coulda, shouldas. It's just get it done. The faster you get it done and to go through your bumps and bruises, the better off you'll be.
So now
that's how I had to look at it.
So how has that changed your business?
Oh, it's definitely changed now that I'm not taking my own calls. I'm not going on my own appointments.
Yeah, you have a little bit of freedom, right? You have options.
Yeah, I get a lot more freedom. So now I'm really in the mode of just putting people in places to where it will allow me to more and more take myself out of the day-to-day minutia.
Yeah, so that's still got to get done. But all of a sudden, you know, you're the highest paid clerical person on the face of the planet.
Yep, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, because you're sitting there doing everything. And so suddenly now you have the making of the owner of a business versus owning a job. Now you have the ability. This thing is starting to get some serious momentum behind it. Right?
Oh, yeah. And now you realize that you can have multiple. Because I always wondered, well, how can people have 5 and 10 businesses, you know, this, that, or the other? But now, you know, you just have to have leverage because they're not obviously working in those businesses, but you just got to have the leverage and create the systems to make it accessible.
Well, dude, this has been fascinating. So as this thing has kind of come into its own and it's kind of really started to build up here, tell us today, what are you passionate about? You know, so what has the business now afforded you to do and how do you spend your time? And because you worked your ass off to get here, right? I mean, so what's today look like?
Typically, you know, now I wake up, I go to the gym, I talk to my team a little bit.
You doing any traveling?
What I have on. Oh, I do traveling. Yeah. What I'm passionate about too is the fact that being able to take your family to different vacations and different trips that and have it totally paid for where they don't have to worry about how I'm going to pay for this. They don't, you know, they may not have the income or the resources to, but just I took my parents, my girlfriend's mom and her sister and two of my aunts and we went to Tennessee, Gatlinburg.
Oh,
and
wow.
We rented a big nice cabin and it was a real good time. You know, we they didn't have to pay for anything. I just said, hey, just let's just go.
Wow.
And we had a really, really great time, you know, so that's why I do what I do. You know, it's from the family standpoint, it's family having experiences that they probably wouldn't have otherwise, you know.
How does that make you feel?
It makes you the words can't even describe it. It doesn't even describe it. I mean, you know, see the smile on their faces and, you know, we can eat where we want. We can go get what we want. I tell you that, and that's what I've always envisioned. I always envisioned myself to be able to do what I want, where I want, and who I want to do it with. And
you did that, man.
I just went let up on it, you know, because I realized that, hey, if this person is doing it, people can do this, then who says I can't do it, you know? And that's my biggest passion is having, you know, my family and friends experience things that, you know, they may or may not ever get a chance to do in life.
That's awesome, brother. That's awesome. I'm so happy that you got that you're having those experiences now.
Yeah.
And life is good. So how's been your experience with Billionaire Boardroom? How's that been for you?
Oh man, that's been a big jump. You know, just from, like you said, we started last year and my business has grown pretty greatly. I remember last, you know, cause I tell the story sometimes. I last year, January, cause we did our first boardroom last year, February. Yeah, it was last year, February. Last year, January, I made like $3,000 for that month in wholesale fees. It basically was just one deal I made $3,000 on. That was it. This past January, our income was $129,000 for the month.
Wow.
So all from just throughout the year.
I would say that's some growth. I would say that you probably figured out a few things inside a boardroom.
That's right. I've been able to step my game up on, you know, from a marketing standpoint, because systematically what I did every couple of months, I would increase my marketing, you know, keep increasing my marketing. You know, we have a big month, you know, I would reinvest extra money in my marketing just so I can do more.
Right.
And now I'm still doing the same thing. I'm still increasing my marketing even to this day.
You want to increase your income. If you want to increase your income, increase your marketing.
That's right. That's right.
Right. That's the way it works. People don't want to hear that because they believe it's risky. But what you and I both know, what makes it not risky is when you know your KPIs.
That's right. That's right.
The moment you know your numbers, it's no longer risky.
If I want to make more income, then I said, well, I gotta send out more marketing, you know. And even with direct mail, I didn't start sending direct mail consistently until I want to say till probably the end of 2015, you know. So I wasn't even a big proponent of direct mail until just, you know, recently.
Right. What were you doing before to get deals?
I was making offers on MLS properties, referrals. You know, I would probably get a deal or two from a realtor, or, you know, someone would call for one of our bandit signs. So it wasn't really consistent. And that's one of the things I was always struggling with is how do I get a consistent business with wholesaling? And, you know, it really came down to, I had to really just say, you know what, let me start doing some of this direct mail. And, I haven't looked back since.
Right? That's the bottom line. You got to get in control of what's going on. And when you got MLS or you're in other people's lead sources, you are not in control. It's that simple.
That's right. You're not in control. Yep. So
at
now
least I with direct mail, once you get the KPIs dialed in, it's like an ATM machine. I put this much in, I get this much out over and over and over.
Yeah. And then when you have a good month, guess what? You put some more, you put more money into the marketing and get more, even more in wholesales. I hope I'm not speaking too soon, but by the end of May, this would be my first $200,000 month.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, wow.
Dinner's going to be on you, right? I mean, that's at the next boardroom. I can go. I go out and let everybody know. Everybody's going to hear this. I'm going to tell you right now. Sit down there.
Yeah. So I'm definitely excited about that. You know, so we just got to have more of those consistently, but it's definitely coming. It's definitely coming.
I love it, brother. Well, man, this has been awesome. I love having you on here. I'm glad that everybody got the opportunity to meet you a little bit. If people want to reach out to you, people want to get to know you a little bit, what's the best way for them to contact you? A
couple of different ways they can email me directly at gwgproperties@yahoo.com. We have a Facebook page called Top Atlanta Wholesale Deals, GWG Enterprises. That's our Facebook page. That's pretty much the main. I mean, we're on Instagram. I have another group on Facebook called Mr. ATO Wholesaler. That's It's another group on Facebook that we have. So it's several different ways I can be reached.
We'll put links on the website on the show notes here to make sure that everybody's got all your contact information. And guys, as you're listening, if you want to get the show notes, you want to reach out to Anthony, just go to thetimeisnow.com or kentclothier.com. You'll be able to listen to the show as well as get all the show notes and hook up right there with him. Anthony, any parting words?
Man, I just want to say it's a pleasure getting to work with you and be in a mastermind with you. You've always been someone I looked up to, definitely. So I'm honored to be part of the podcast and whatever I can do to help. You know, like I said, I'm mad I missed the event this past weekend, but you know, the next one, definitely I'll be more than willing to share some words.
I love it, brother. We will definitely have you out at our next event and share your wisdom in front of everybody. And the pleasure is all mine. The honor is all mine. I love getting to know you guys, hang out with you guys. Our family's getting to know each other. I mean, this is what life is all about. I'm glad you guys are along for the journey. And guys, if you want to know more about the boardroom, we'll put that link in there as well in the show notes. And again, we appreciate all your great feedback. We appreciate all your great comments that you're leaving out there for us, as well as the reviews. So again, if you've got any feedback, got any comments, you want to leave them and let us know how we can do better, how we can improve, or what you loved about this show. Again, just go over to thetimeisnow.com or kentclothier.com. Leave the comments right there. We'll make sure that we share them with Anthony and myself. And until we meet again, peace.
You've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more for you over at thetimeisnow.com, where you can sign up for our free mailing list to help you make the next big shift in your career. As always, we'll see you next time on the Time Is Now podcast, where your business is personal.